Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, are you ready to hear an encouragement today about Easter Sunday? Yeah, that's really, really good. I just realized as I got up here that I've done something silly and I took my glasses off. So right now, you're all like a lovely blur, and so is my message. And I think I might have taken them off backstage. Don't you love it when everything goes so well? And then you just do something like that. Thank you so much. This is my husband, always rescuing me. It was dark backstage, so I didn't realize I had him off. So funny. How are we doing? Good? Hey, who had chocolate this morning? Who had chocolate for breakfast? You're allowed to do that on Easter Sunday. After breakfast. Okay. Oh, so good. Well, you know, those testimonies this morning, they're powerful because they're real. They're powerful because they're authentic. They're powerful because they are true, real-life stories of lives that have been impacted by God. And perhaps you're here today and you've been a Christian for some time, and as you hear these testimonies, you're reminded of the moment that you surrendered your life to Jesus. Do you remember that day? Or perhaps you remember the day that you got baptized, just like these three beautiful people did today. And so today may be for you a refreshing reminder to live from that revelation of your salvation. Or perhaps you're sitting here wondering, what's so special about this whole God thing? And why is it so meaningful for people? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're wondering if this is real, if this is relevant, and why would somebody even consider God? For you, maybe today is going to stir some questions. For you, maybe today is going to stir some curiosity. Whatever it does, I would love to encourage you for a few minutes. And I'm going to share some thoughts with you about Easter Sunday. And my message is entitled, What Life Are You Living? What life are you living? Today is Easter Sunday. We all know that. But it's often referred to as Resurrection Sunday. All over the world, Christians celebrate what this day signifies, the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to read an account from Scripture that took place just after Jesus' death and resurrection and before the disciples, before he appeared to his disciples. Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus had been crucified, he died, his body had been laid in the tomb. And then 3 days later, three women went to the tomb to anoint his body. And we're going to read this from Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. It says, But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they'd prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they ran in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, Why are you looking among the dead for somebody who is alive? He is in here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would be risen again on the third day. When they remembered that he'd said this, they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It's interesting when you read this account that the women were puzzled. The women were puzzled. They came to the tomb expecting to be tending to a lifeless body. They came to the tomb expecting to anoint his body and complete the preparations for burial that were required by their customs, and then spend the rest of their days remembering Jesus. Remembering the sinless life that he'd lived, remembering that he had died by crucifixion for their sins. Like these women, we should remember his death. His crucifixion was the most significant day in humanity's history. His crucifixion is the most significant day in humanity's history because he was sacrificed for our redemption. He was sacrificed that we could be made right with God and have that assurance of eternity with him. And to be remembering Jesus only in that way, as the one who sacrificed for our redemption, that has deep and eternal ramifications for every single person who would call on his name, for our souls, for us, for the women who were coming to that tomb. But what they missed that left them so puzzled, and what we often miss as believers in Jesus Christ, is that Jesus' crucifixion is only one part of the complete gospel message. It's because the gospel message is both. It is the cross and it is the empty tomb. It is both death to the old and life to the new. It is both the crucifixion and the resurrection. You see, Jesus' death on the cross saved us, and his resurrection empowers us. It empowers us to live a new life in him, a resurrection life. And so my question for you today is, what life are you living? Are you living a resurrection life? The Bible writers tell us this about the resurrection life. They say that in Romans 8 verse 15, he says that this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's not what these women were coming to as they were puzzled as they came to the empty tomb. They were literally coming to tend to a grave. They were literally coming to tend to a lifeless body. But that's not a resurrection life. But so often we can approach life the same way that the women did. We approach it as we are tending something that has no life in it any longer. That we come to life approaching it without hope, without peace, without joy, without strength. You see, we may be a believer in a higher power. We may even believe that God exists. We may, like the women, even believe in Jesus and that he died for our sins. But we continue to live in the struggle of trying to overcome the rule of sin and death in our lives. We stay subject to our faults and failings. When we're not living in that resurrection life, we're going to continue to struggle to beat that addiction. We're going to continue to be the kind of person who goes from one broken relationship to the next. We're going to continue to be plagued by past mistakes, overcome by anxiety, depression, and anger. We're going to continue to battle against those insecurities and fears that we have of never being loved or accepted or belonging. Or we might find that we continue to be overwhelmed by that desire for approval that leads us to do things that we never thought we would ever do. We battle, we fight, we strive, we hide from it, we ignore it, we try to medicate it, and we try and soothe the ache, the pain, the grief inside, and we find ourselves living that grave-tending life. We find ourselves tending to things that won't bring healing, tending to things that won't bring strength, tending to things that won't sustain and restore our souls, when the answer is right in front of us. In the empty tomb. Because not only has Jesus lived a perfect life and died, but he rose again so that the power of God that gave him victory over sin would now be available to every single one of us. Come on, that deserves praise. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Let's give him praise. Thanks, Tobes, you can go. This is the full gospel message. This is the power of the cross and the empty tomb. This is the resurrection of Jesus, that we would be saved from sin and empowered to live a resurrection life. So today I want to share with you a couple of thoughts around what a resurrection life might look like. A resurrection life is a victorious life. John records what it means to live a victorious life. In 1 John 5 verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Here, John clearly defines what it means to live a victorious life. He describes people living in victory as those who believe that Jesus is God's Son and all that that means. Overcomers are believers, all of them. So if you're a believer today, you're an overcomer. And that word overcomer comes from the Greek word, which means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. It implies that there is a battle to be won, and there is. There is a battle to be won. And let me say right now, and I think that most of us are like the rest of us, in that life can sometimes feel like a battle. It can sometimes feel like a battle, but the battle here that John is talking about is not the battle against those circumstances and those things that can come against us, but rather it's the battle to stay in faith in a world that predominantly draws us away from living in faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying that we'll overcome that which tries to draw us away from Jesus. And we don't win this battle. We don't overcome because of what we do. Rather, we overcome because of who we are in Christ. We overcome when we take hold of that new life that we have in Him, of that new life that we saw Yako and Gabrielle and Rachel accept today, that new life that you have in Christ, that is the life that sets you up to be an overcomer. That is the life that causes you to walk in faith no matter what comes against you. We are victorious because we are born of God. And we are born of God because we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe He is the Son. And as believers, we live overcoming lives because we've built our lives on faith. We built our lives on faith in Jesus. He is the Son of God for us. He's the Son of God for us. And we live in the power of the cross and the power of His resurrection because of Jesus. In John 16, 33, Jesus said this of Himself. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Jesus spoke these words as He sat at a table with friends. And in just a few hours' time, one of them would betray Him into the hands of sinful men. In just a few hours' time, He was going to be crucified, and another one would deny Him, and the others would run away. He was about to face the most challenging, difficult moment in His life. And you see, this is the thing about a victorious life. It does not always look like success according to worldly standards, but rather it looks like standing firm in who you know God has called you to be and who you know He is, even when your circumstances may be challenging, even when they haven't turned out the way that you expected. You see, the mark of a victorious life is not our circumstances, rather our ability to stay in faith regardless of our circumstances. Living in the new life, living a life of faith, looks different to living a life without faith. Living a life without faith can only be measured by human standards, a measure we can't live up to. But with Jesus, in Him and His resurrection, we find the power to live our lives in faith, and we find the peace that only comes from Him. This is the power of the resurrection that makes a way for us to live victoriously, to live in faith no matter what comes our way. No wonder Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." It's in Jesus that we find our way to faith. It's in Jesus that we find the truth of who we are and who He is. It is in Jesus that we find a resurrection life. So a resurrection life is a victorious life, and a resurrection life is a yielded life. You know, if you were to watch Bondi Rescue and you watch those guys go, somebody's out in the water struggling to keep their head above the water, maybe they're drowning, and they send the Bondi rescue crew out on the water on their boards to go and rescue that person. When they get out to that person in the water, they don't tell them off for swimming outside the flags. They don't tell them off for going out too deep when they couldn't swim in the first place. They don't tell them off for all of those things and just watch them struggle in the water. No, they get in the water with them and they pull them to safety. But you see, what sometimes keeps that person in a place of struggle is their resistance to the lifesaver. Yeah. Wow. That they won't follow His lead. That they try to save themselves and they panic and they fight, and so they remain in the struggle longer than was necessary. You see, a resurrection life is not just a victorious life. A resurrection life is a yielded life. It's a yielded life. Back in the Old Testament, in the Bible, it talks about a king called David who lived hundreds of years before God sent Jesus. David was known as a man of great faith, and I think he knew the secret to living a yielded life. He wrote this in Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Notice who's doing all the work in this. Notice that it is God who makes him lie down. It is God who leads him, God who restores him. And can I suggest to you today that this man who lived as a faithful follower of God knew that living a yielded life would lead him to the restoration of his soul. We don't find that by leading ourselves. We find it by yielding to the leadership of God. And when we do that, he leads us to a resurrection life. You know, when I was a young person growing up in a traditional religious environment, if you told me that I needed to let God lead my life, I immediately would start to think that it meant living by a bunch of rules that I would never be able to live up to. I would begin to think that it meant complying to something that I would constantly fail at and constantly be shamed about. But that is not the kind of life that David's talking about. That's not the kind of life that God leads us to. David didn't say God leads us to the rule book. He doesn't say that God leads us to condemnation. No, he leads us to places that are going to restore our soul. He leads us to life-sustaining, strength-building, dignity-restoring places. All we need to do is yield. All we need to do is lean on the lifesaver, the only one who has the victory over sin and death, and allow him to lead us into resurrection life, life that overcomes death and the struggle against sin. In Romans 6:22, Paul wrote this about a life lived with Jesus. He said, "Now that you've found, you don't have to listen to sin telling you what to do. You've discovered the delight of listening to God telling you. What a surprise. Now you've got a whole, healed, put together life right now with more and more life on the way." Wow, that is the victory of the empty tomb. That's the victory of living a resurrection life, that God leads us not to condemn us, but to restore us with resurrection power. It's time for us today, church. Come on, it's time for us to give up resisting and fighting and start yielding to him to allow the lifesaver to pull us out of the water and put us on his board. It's time for us to lean into the leadership of God, to live that yielded life that leads to a resurrected life. And as the band joins me, a resurrection life is also a saved life. In fact, that's where it all begins. You see, this is how we find ourselves on the path to living in the power of a resurrection life, a life that is victorious, a life that is yielded to God. It starts with our salvation. In Ephesians 2 verse 4, it says that God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. This is the ultimate expression of God's love for us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God. We've all messed up. We've all got wrongdoing in our lives. We've all made mistakes. And even though every one of us has been created to be in relationship with God, we're separated from him by our sin. You see, being sinful, being corrupted, those sorts of things cannot be with what is holy, with what is pure. We could not even clean ourselves up. We could not even clean ourselves up, even more than you could clean up a mess with a dirty rag. We're already sinful. We're already condemned. But God is so rich in his mercy. God so loves us that he provided the solution, and the solution was the sacrifice of his son. Jesus went to the cross. He carried the weight of our sin to pay the price. His death made the way for us to be made right with God, and that brings us into a right relationship with him, that we wouldn't be separated from him any longer. And can I tell you today that I heard this kind of message way back many years ago, and when I heard this kind of message, I remember sitting there thinking, could this be for real? Could this be for real? That there could actually be a God that loved me and didn't condemn me, didn't hold anything against me, just wanted to bring me into relationship with Him. And can I tell you, when I made that decision to lean into that, to receive that, and to say the prayer to ask Jesus to come into my life, it was the best decision that I ever made. Because from that moment on, just like you heard testimony after testimony today, my life was changed. New life came in and the old life was gone.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.